This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for hour number two of the big show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday, where some people are more festive than others, and we appreciate you always being usual suspects of the show. Basically spent the first hour catching up. We got plenty to get to. We got Astros. We got Texans. We got lots of things on our agenda. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a call. Give us a text. Give us a tweet. Barry's catching up on the text.
Yeah, a lot of, the first hour was, you know, all trip stuff, but we can catch up. Said, hey guys, love the show. My name is Angel. I went to the comedy show this weekend with Jerry. Just wanted to give him a shout out. That's good. I'm glad that went well. Barry, I assume you said yes to the crack? Nope. I turned down the crack and the cocaine.
He gained texting. Weight, so no, that's false news.
All texting, no tweeting. This is Dimitri. Sorry your trip didn't go as planned, Barry, but you know where home is and the love. Welcome home. They have those scooters in Austin now. Bikes, too. Do they? And we also got a text where somebody said that they're in San Antonio. So apparently we're the only ones that don't have the scooters yet. But that kind of makes sense, which it was surprised me in a way to see them in L.A. because it's so spread out. But I guess it's so touristy that the tourists kind of stay around Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, yeah.
So having those scooters around there would
make
sense. So
nothing like that exists in downtown Houston?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
What are those bikes outside Toyota Center?
You got to pay for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are several racks around downtown Houston that you pay for them.
Okay.
Yeah, you rent the bikes. Definitely you can do that. Yeah. I mean, the one I was talking about in Portland, you don't have to pay for them. It's all based on, you know, goodwill. You use it, make sure you put it back where you're supposed to put it back. And the bigger the city, the lesser the chances that people are going to do what you want them to do with it. They're going to keep them. They're going to leave them in traffic. They're going to just do a lot of bad things. But in Portland, it's worked.
Yeah. Somebody said, great sports map article this week, Joel. Now you have me excited about the Texans.
Well, hello.
I'm going to read it.
Came to me so quickly last night. Everything was flowing. I just felt like Deshaun is, you know, Rick Smith finally got it right. Of all the mistakes that Rick Smith made, at least he got one right, Deshaun Watson. So if you want to check it, sportsmap.com.
Somebody said, Peaches and Cream doesn't touch Only You by 112. And I would agree with that. And Joel said, Next Too Close was better than 112 as far as classic goes. So I'm on board with all of that. Tim has a great point about the James Bond article, which my friend never made. And had he made it, I might have conceded the point. But he said, if you think of James Bond as a code name and not a singular dude, then it would make sense.
I agree with that.
And I would concede that point if that's what they pitch it as. Like, no. James Bond has always been a code name and not an individual dude. Okay. That makes more sense.
Because that would be like Bourne.
But,
right?
Yeah. Well, Jason Bourne is the guy.
I know, but again, you could say the same thing if they would transition actors and they wanted to...
Right, and say, oh...
But yeah, but Jason Bourne is actually a guy, right?
But I always thought James Bond was a guy because he goes by James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't just use it as, like, he's introduced himself as James Bond. So, to me, he's always... That's been his name.
I think there's plenty of chicks that have seen his ID, if you know what I mean.
Nice.
or his ammo.
So did I miss what it looks like when I left, the Astros just fell apart. And now that I'm back, they're winning again. What the hell happened? What did you do?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, first of all, at home, it's just atrocious. And they had lost 9 in a row at home. And it was just, and it's things you and I have talked about over and over again, which is when you have the injuries that this team has, when you have the, even with the starting pitching that they have, it's going to catch up with you. And when you're batting, you know, guys in the order that just, and we talked about J.D. Davis and now Tyler White starting to hit a little bit. But when you start talking about where the woes are, they just weren't scoring any runs. They scored in the final game of the homestand when they snapped the 9-game losing streak at home to the Rockies. They broke out with home runs and a lot of runs. They scored as many runs in one game as they had scored the entire homestand, basically.
Yeah, the Mariners series, pretty ugly.
Awful.
Lost 8-6, 5-2, 3-2, and 4-3.
Yeah, they couldn't score any runs. They weren't doing anything right. You know, and then this weekend happens, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, when I kept saying objects in your rearview mirror are closer than they might appear, and here come the A's. And then Friday night, I could not have been more upset. I was complete in disagreement with Charlie today. You heard me tell him when I came in.
Yeah.
Charlie, there was a huge call on a replay on Friday night They played great baseball, fundamental baseball. They're winning in the last two. Rondon's on in the ninth. Got a runner on, and Rondon gives up a double to the right field corner. Reddick plays it perfectly, throws a laser to Correa. The relay is right on time. Correa delivers a dart to home plate, and Maldonado makes the tag, and the play at the plate, the umpire called him out. This is key, people. He called him out. So now we go to replay review. Every single replay that we got never showed the runner's fingers touching home plate. Never showed anything other than different angles of when where the tag was made, when it, and you can start in your mind trying to figure out, syncing it up, was his fingers over the plate? Were they down on the plate? My whole thing is, unless you tell me that there's definitive proof, without a shadow of a doubt, they got the call wrong, then you got to stick with what's on the field.
Agree.
They did not do that. Mm. They reversed the call. They ended up going to extra innings. Tony Sipp became old Tony Sipp again, came in and gave up a bomb in the next inning, and then walk-off home run, and they lose by one run. And it was, to me, it was a travesty, and even Reddick was tweeting after the game saying they got, replay was supposed to get calls right, they got that one wrong. Blummer was saying he got an email during the game that said that they had seen the fingers touch the plate, and he's like, where? How? I need more than this. And again, obviously in different sports, it's different things, and you can get the ire of people. I just want the call right, and I'm telling you, man, I was ready to go to bed, mm-hmm. and then I was wide awake going, that's just wrong. It was wrong to me, so.
I'm with you because that's the whole point, right? The whole point is, let's get the call right, and whatever call is made on the field, unless you can 100, even if it's 99%,
right. Unequivocally.
If there is a little bit of doubt, then you just go with what the call was. And that's always been the case. So, yeah, that kind of surprises me that they would do that. But.
And I know people say that the replay center has all the angles. Well, then here's what baseball's got to do. Send video via social media, email, whatever, but show the proof wherever you got it. Because otherwise it's a conspiracy theory. Because if I'm being told we have an angle where I can see the fingers on the plate, but I don't see that, then I'm calling BS.
Yep, yep, yep.
I don't agree with that.
So when I left town, we had discussed the Astros a little bit, and we talked about the fact that this was a team that we know what their pitching is. Their hitting was somewhere around fourth or fifth best in the AL. Not so now. I pulled up team stats. Fifth mm-hmm. in runs, ninth in batting average, sixth in on-base percent, sixth in slugging. You have to be scuffling pretty bad to drop a couple of spots in those categories.
Yeah.
When you're talking of percentages, you have to really be scuffling. So it has not been a pretty month or so for the Astros.
No, and you know what? The thing that I kept saying throughout the week, and we talked about it with Randy McAvoy because he got the TV perspective on it, and even the way they cover the team, everybody was so relaxed in their demeanor, like, it's no big deal. And when we get healthy, we're going to be fine. And I'm like, you can't do that because the last thing you want this team to do is end up in the wild card. You have to make sure that there's a sense of urgency that wasn't there. It hasn't been there. It has to be there because you're looking at it now. And I don't know, the guys were kind of joking about it, but they actually dotted Altuve last night in the minor league game. They hit him.
That's not
and I'm good. Like, God forbid, because I keep saying, I wrote the article about it a week ago on Sportsman. They could use another bat like insurance.
Right.
But in the meantime, God forbid, all these guys that you're expecting to come back and be healthy and ready to go down the stretch, if one or more aren't, now you really got some issues. Because J.D. Davis has proven he can't hit, because Derek Fisher can't hit, yeah, Tyler White's on a little bit of a hitting streak going on right now, but overall, the body of work says he's not a major league, consistent major league hitter yet. Yet. I'll give him yet, right? But like even Evan Gattis, hot as can be in the middle of the summer, and he's come back to the means, but everybody's going to go look at his home runs. Well, he just hit, he had a two home run game, hit a solo shot yesterday. So in the last two games, he's gotten a couple back, but overall, he hasn't been anywhere close to where, and we talked about this, it's when the guys come back to their means, Marwin Gonzalez. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Had the career year last year. Gattis, red hot in the middle of the summer. But overall, we know who he is. To use the Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were.
Yeah. That some of it, though, you feel like, or I would think at least, would be the lack of production at the top of the order can tend to trickle down to the bottom. So when you're missing an Altuve and Correa for as long as they were missing them.
And even Springer.
And scuffling and Springer. You're missing a guy that really... I mean, Brian McCann might sit somewhere to the middle third to the bottom third of this order, but he can still drive in some runs. And you've lost a lot of potency in the lineup. I don't think people were as scared of the Astros when it was just one guy, when it's just Yuli Gurriel and Bregman. But you, and even you see, I mean, when you have guys that surround these other guys, they make them better. So I think the cure for what ails you is getting healthy.
No doubt. I mean, just, like I said, you just got to make sure that they all do get healthy. Because
then you can fade a J.D. Davis at the bottom of the lineup that sucks, but he can play some defense or fill in from time to time. But, yeah, when all that's missing and you're relying on those guys, it's, I mean, proven. This, you have to have your stars on a team.
No doubt. So you mentioned Brian McCann, 0 for 3, caught 6 innings on Saturday night. They're going to phase him back to where he's catching a full game. Then he'll be back with the team. That's good news. Altuve, I mentioned he got hit, but his rehab assignment Sunday for AAA Fresno, playing at Tacoma, was 1 for 3. After he got hit by the pitch, they took him out. But Tacoma, very, very close to Seattle, with the series getting ready to take place in Seattle against the Mariners. Chance Altuve joins the team for this series against Seattle. That's good news. Jake Mariznick even making progress on and getting back from his groin injury. So hopefully the guys are going to start lining up, coming back. McCullers is a guy that would be very key as well, that we need some updates on as well. Haven't seen any of those yet, but with, not that we can't get them. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second hour of the show. Glad you're along for the ride. It's the Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday, as we were talking a little Astros before the break, so everybody's pleased with their sports content for the overall duration of the show.
Yeah. Because you know.
Yeah, well, you guys didn't have time for it. Well,
all right.
Whatever. Every station on this freaking show, every show on this station talks tons of sports. By the time we get there, it's regurgitated 85 times. We're trying to freshen it up a little bit.
I was looking up statistics for the Astros. First half, second half, home and road. You were right about the home road splits. 67.7 winning percentage on the road. Dude, to take a gander at what it is?
They have a better road record than the Red Sox. They have the best road record in the American
League.
They're
42-20 on the road. You want to guess what their home record is?
It's awful. They're
winning 53% of their home games. They have a 53.2 winning percentage, 33-29. First half versus the second half, they won 65% of their games in the first half. They were on pace for the second half. They're 11-14 with a 44 winning percentage. They won 44% of their games. That's awful. Awful. Yeah. They are definitely missing their stars, or as Josh Rapp put it, their spark plugs. That's good. A good baseball cliche to use, spark plugs.
Don't give him too much credit, okay?
No, yeah, for sure. Mito wants to talk Astros catcher situation. See, I didn't say catcher because it pisses people off. Catcher. Mito, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? Just wanted to say real quick, that dude Maldonado, man, he's going to be a beast for us. He be out there, I don't know if he's screaming or encouraging everybody, but whatever he's saying to them, he gets it done. He gets in their face. I haven't seen none of our other players do that. So I like Martin Maldonado kind of coming with that get-it-done attitude, like, you know, instead of playing around like everybody else does. But, you know, I like him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Mito. What I noticed was how his intensity level was in the big inning when Peacock came in yesterday, and he had a couple of foul tips where he had a chance to squeeze it and get the third out, and they popped out of the glove. And even Blummer's like, I mean, the ball's coming so fast, you can't be mad. But the fact that he was so mad and so intense and dialed in on what he wanted to do to help his team was great. The one thing you just have to be real careful of is don't expect what he did offensively on a regular basis. He is a defensive catcher. He cannot hit. We talk about coming back to the means. Well, his means he's probably going to hit about 220, 225. But, boy, defensively and the way he works with the staff, he's fantastic.
What else you got, man?
Exactly.
Yeah. What else? Anything else, Mito?
Nah, man. That's it. Just I love the show, man. Appreciate y'all guys.
Hey, appreciate you as always for calling in.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maldonado, you went out and got him because Stassi is good and a capable fill in for Brian McCann. But Maldonado brings you a level that few in baseball really have behind the plate. Now, obviously, like you said, he's not going to hit. But he's a guy in late innings in the playoffs. You put him in the eighth inning, the ninth inning. You lose a little bit at the plate if he's replacing Brian McCann. But what you're going to gain defensively, if you've got a three-run lead, it's worth it. So
remember a year ago when you and I were talking about in the postseason, the one shortcoming of the Astros could be if you're in a one-run game, guys could steal. You're not going to have that problem with him. He has got a cannon.
Yeah, and if you can get up a few runs and you don't have to worry about coming from behind, because that's the thing. If you're down in the playoffs, then you're going to leave Brian McCann in and keep his bat in that lineup. You get up a few runs late in the inning, 7, 8, 9, that might be a time when you see Maldonado come in and replace him.
Right,
so,
and the thing is, too, I like the fact that even with a Verlander, we saw when McCann went down and Stassi had to be the guy for to coach the staff up, that there were a lot of issues with Verlander and the veterans that just didn't like the way he was calling games and managing everything behind the plate. You don't get that with Maldonado, and he comes out and he's not afraid to either tap, you know, hit you kind of hard in the chest and wake you up a little bit, slap you in the butt and say, let's go. But you can tell that the pitching staff respects him, and that's big.
Well, yeah. Oh, that's huge. It's when you have a veteran staff like this. That's huge.
No question.
And Verlander got his 200th win, so that's that's a good thing, I guess. I mean, it's
But here's the coolest thing about it. And again, I was telling Nick before the show when we were talking about gauging how big of a deal that is. I mean, 300 used to be you win 300 games, you're going to get in the Hall of Fame. That was the ultimate benchmark. But now, because you know there's so many pitchers in the game, and the managers are crunching the numbers and doing all the analytics, and pitchers are going in and out, and they're not brought on as quickly. It used to be when you had a guy that had a cannon like a Doc Gooden, he was going to be in the big leagues within a year.
Right.
Now, you know, they're slow. You talk about how they've babied pitchers over the years, from Jabba Chamberlain to with the kid with Strasburg with the Nationals, and they still end up having arm problems. But it's a different kind of set of numbers and benchmarks. But 200 is pretty special, especially when you throw in over 2,600 strikeouts. And he's in some pretty rare air when you talk about the others that have gotten two 200 wins with 125 or less losses and over 2,600 strikeouts. There's only Roger Clemens, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez. You're in pretty rare air.
Wow.
That's a pretty solid stat.
Yeah. That's very rare.
So, so it is kind of a big deal. Matter of fact, I saw Julie Morales was sending out messages. But we talk about, and you and I talked about, especially with Osuna when he came in, how this tight locker room was so special, and hopefully nothing happens to it. After the game, Garrett Cole, who's a pretty shy guy, spoke in front of the entire team to talk about Verlander, talk about what a great accomplishment it was. Even was so well versed in it to say, in his first start ever with the Tigers, he went 5.1 innings. Last night, yesterday, he went 5.1 innings. And that the pitching staff, the guys that weren't going to pitch, obviously the starters, they actually popped some bubbly, sprayed him with champagne, really made it a big deal. And that's the kind of togetherness you're talking about. And after the game, AT&T Sportsnet caught up with him. Just real quick, they had Verlander's comments on winning 200.
For me, where I'm at in my career, you know, you look around you, and from where I started to where I'm at, you know, it's been a long journey. You know, Garrett even brought up my first big league start. I went 5.1 innings, and today I went 5.1 innings. You know, it's just kind of one of those funny things that baseball does. You know, we don't know with the way the game's changing where 200 wins stands historically anymore. You know, I think everybody understands it's a little more special than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. But still, you know, it's just something I've taken a lot of pride in, which is just pitching, even through injuries, whatever. Just being out there for my team, Detroit, Houston. You know, it's a special moment for me, and I don't even really know how to put into words.
I mean, the other thing was, and you could tell how much getting back righting the ship was for him. He was popping 99 yesterday. And nice. As good as his velocity is, and it gets stronger as he gets deeper in games, middle of the game yesterday, and he's popping 99 in big situations, you know that that's the ultimate competitor right there. You're glad he's on your side.
Yeah. I was curious what the Astros, because, you know, they're scuffling, and they've been scuffling, and we were talking about it a little bit, and I was curious to see what their record is since they added Osuna, because you had mentioned him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you know what this team has done in the next segment since Osuna joined the team. I think it's interesting.
Okay, cool.
We'll just put it that way. Because you talked about the attitude in the clubhouse and how this team would accept it. We'll discuss.
Perfect. All right, we'll roll into that for the start of the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. Having a good time. 90 in the rear view, 90 still to go on the big show. And as we always say, if you do want to join us, it's real easy. You just call 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 975. We stuck his middle finger to the
world, to the world, to the world. ESPN 975. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Take it, Nick. We're all here.
90 in the rear, 180 in the front.
Whoa.
Something so like if that didn't make sense to you, we got 90 in the books, 90 still to go on the big show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday as everybody's present and accounted for, and we appreciate you spending a little bit of your afternoon with us, and hopefully it's entertaining along the way. We were talking Astros before the break. You had some interesting things you were going to bring to the table.
Yeah, so Osuna, when you mentioned him in the clubhouse and how that kind of, we all thought, what kind of effect is this going to have on this team? Since he was active and available to play, which was August 5th.
Okay.
So from August 5th through yesterday, the 19th, they have won four games. They are 4-8 since he's been on the active roster.
I'm not going to pin it on him, but the minute you made reference to that and I started thinking back, well, you lost 9 straight at home.
Mm-hmm.
You opened up on the road and finished a road trip well, but because he was active on that Saturday and they lost to the Dodgers.
They had won 4 in a row after losing 5 in a row before he was activated August 5th. Okay. So they had just come off of losing 5 in a row, turned it around, won 4 in a row. Now, in the midst of that is when they also announced that they had made the trade for him. But since he's been active as an Astro, they are 4-8. I don't know what you read into that. I don't know
if he's just a jinx.
Is he bad luck? Is it the clubhouse? But all I know is that since they went out and got this cat, he hasn't saved a game, and they're 4-8.
Well, and they're not letting him save it either. He's the setup man for Rondon. Now, the bad news is that Rondon has 2 straight blown saves.
Mm-hmm.
His last 2 appearances, he's blown the saves.
So it won't be long before Osuna is getting the save.
Although, in one of the blown saves, he took the loss.
Yeah.
He came in the following inning and coughed it up.
Yeah.
So... But yeah,
that was
again,
the last Seattle game. Right?
And we kicked it around a little bit last week with several with Randy for sure, and I think even with Jerry.
Who all filled in last week, by the way? I know Monday.
So Raheel did Monday, Thursday.
Okay.
Randy did Tuesday.
Jerry did Friday.
Jerry did who was Friday, Wednesday? And Wednesday was Lance, but he was late.
Oh. What? He big leagued you?
Yeah. But he had to take the kids to orientation at school. So.
Oh. Okay. That's a good week though. That was a good week.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Who didn't do their part? Was it Randy?
No, Randy. His hair was perfect.
He wouldn't even put his headphones over his head.
He would have been very proud of me because, well, he had to get out of here early because he had to go right to the station from here. So we appreciate him filling in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he sat down because I already kind of knew it's kind of like when Nate Griffin fills in, Nate's not talking about anything other than sports for the most part.
Right, right.
So Randy sat down. And I go, Randy, man, it's going to be a lot of fun. He's like, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm like, great, because we're going to talk about nothing but penis and sex for the next couple hours. You can see. He was like,
what have I done?
I was like, I'm kidding. Just kidding. I'm like, if Barry was here, nothing's off limits. But you, we get. We got it. We got
That's
you.
Good. Well, that was nice.
We'll protect you.
Yeah, that was
But
good.
We were talking about the whole thing when you look at what's going on. There were other closers to be had. You know, we were leading into the Oakland series, too, this last weekend, too, and said, look, if you were on top of this thing early, you could have gotten Familia for a song from the Mets. You know, you didn't have to go this route. There were other closers, whether you were able to get the Reds to engage or not. There were other closers to be had to where you could have avoided this. And the only thing that even makes remote sense about exploring it, if this guy was the most dominant closer, hands down, by far, of any player in the league, and you could unequivocally, as you said, and unprecedentedly do the research to state to find out that he's not going to be... He's not going to be guilty, and he didn't do what everybody thinks he did.
But he was, I mean, in most circles, you could say he is a top 10 closer.
Yeah, that's fine.
In baseball, or at least in the AL, which isn't that, there's a big difference between the two, saying baseball versus the AL. But he is a close to elite level closer. And the one reason you could do it is, research aside, baseball aside, I mean, research aside and off the field stuff aside, is because it was related to what happened off the field, you could get him for a significant discount versus all the other names that you mentioned.
But even that,
and you
right?
gave up a head case that you were never bringing back in Giles.
You gave up one prospect that you gave up, may end up being okay.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay, at best.
Well,
and then you gave up a guy in Paulino.
Some people think he was
that,
better than okay. I'm not going to go that far because we know how prospects
either.
Go. It's a 50-50 crap.
Everyone show. Thought that Derek Fisher was a centerpiece for trades, and now look at him. And look at J.D. Davis and Tyler White.
I said that
White,
while you were
AJ.
Out. I said,
these,
well,
none of these cats
the two untouchables
out.
A year ago were Martez, who's going to have Tommy John surgery, and Derek Fisher. Kyle Tucker has looked like he's not ready for prime time yet. Now, he may get there, but again, if you didn't see that, every major league team was like, got to have that guy, got to have that guy. Now everybody's like, we can maybe look at other guys.
Yep.
So it does change in a heartbeat, and it is. It's all based on potential, and potential can get a general manager fired as well as it can make you look like a complete genius for drafting guys that you draft.
So that's why I say from a strategic standpoint, the trade for Osuna was actually pretty smart from a baseball strategic standpoint. They got him for nothing, and he has the stuff of a great to elite level closer currently in baseball. Not all time or anything like that, but
no, and I'll go with all that. I'm just saying if there were others to
it?
Be had, yeah. I mean,
4-8 since he's been eligible and in that clubhouse every day.
The other thing too that soft sells this, because we get back to like the fact that they're not pressing the panic button, and it just doesn't seem like anybody is thinking that anything else other than even Buster Olney had a stat last night that said, with all that being said, the probability of the Astros winning the division at the end of the year is still over 70%.
That's pretty wild.
And I could not believe that based on how close the A's are.
I had a texter ask us at full strength, where'd it go? At full strength, do you think the Astros can beat the Red Sox?
I do.
Okay.
Do you?
I do, because again, the great equalizer, and the Astros may not be a better hitting team than the Red Sox.
Right.
And boy, people are going to hate hearing the second part of this. One, they have the best rotation in baseball.
Agreed.
And that's going to help even in a playoff series, because some of those arms now can be middle relief. If you see a guy struggling a little bit in the third inning.
See McCullers and Morton of a year ago.
Exactly. You can bring in McCullers and Morton and these guys if Cole happens to struggle in one of his outings or whatever. But that bullpen now, it's better. Osuna makes you a lot better at the back end of that bullpen.
It's more versatile, for sure.
It's more versatile. You're going to move some of those great arms in that rotation into the middle relief role in that bullpen, which pushes some of the weaker arms out of the bullpen, which means you get better from beginning to end in that bullpen.
Because think about it. Situationally, Hinch a lot of times pads the brakes when he wants to make a pitching change just to get one guy out, because he's like, well, then I burn Devinsky.
Yep.
Or then I burn so-and-so. And then because they don't have a surplus of lefties in their pen, they have one. They have Tony Sipp.
Yeah.
So that puts him kind of behind the eight ball. Now what you're talking about, the versatility allows him to maybe burn a Sipp on just one lefty, because he knows coming back he's got guys that can get lefties out, and he's got more depth in the pen. So absolutely.
Yeah. A couple things on the James Bond. People were still weighing in on that. No, James Bond is an individual. The 007 is the tag of the character, and that's something I didn't think about. James Bond wasn't a code. His code name was 007.
Right.
So they said they need to be a different character and tag them within the same universe.
Very
kinda
savvy,
like Creed.
Tweet. No, Josh Rapp, but that was very savvy.
Kind of like Creed. You know, they wanted to do another Rocky movie.
Yeah.
So instead of they just made Creed the centerpiece. So yeah, you could definitely do that. Somebody else said, James Bond is specifically MI6 Agent 007. So his name is James Bond. Mm-hmm. So again, I stand by. You can't change the dude's race if that's his name. That's who you've established him as a white dude. It's too late. Like, if it was just a cover, I get it. But then somebody pointed out on Twitter that, what the hell is his name? The character that, Nick Fury. So at one point, apparently Nick Fury was a white guy. And then they changed him in the Marvel Universe to be Samuel L. Jackson. So there, I don't know what that means as far as
007. But again,
007,
it's more like there's also the fine line of if it's just in comic books or the print form, it's one thing. But when it's established in a movie role with an identity,
over and
it
over
changes.
Since the 70s or 60s.
That's where it changes too.
Yeah.
So you have to be cognizant of that.
So this Keith has texted the show a couple of times, so I'll read this one. It says, Hunch keeps adjusting the lineup.
Yes. Hunch?
Yes, Hunch.
I got a hunch that the Strohs are going to be okay.
Kent might be the best player in productive at bats, but he'll sit 2 to 3 games after getting multiple hits in the same game. Again, I've been out this week, but I can't imagine not having Kemp at the top of that lineup every day.
He moved him back down.
Why?
Because he's getting guys back. You want Springer at regardless of how Correa has struggled to get back his rhythm.
Sure. He's going to bat fourth.
He's going to be up there. And then when Springer comes back, regardless of whether he struggles a little bit or not, he moved him right back to leadoff.
Sure.
Because then guys get back into their comfortable spots where they're used to hitting when they're healthy.
So why not put Bregman hitting third, Correa fourth, Kemp second, and have Springer leading off?
I don't have a problem with it, but I know there are people that are out there, but that's just nitpicking it. You're trying to win ball games right now. I mean, that's the thing. That's what just constantly nags at me is there's not enough sense of urgency sometimes, even in the locker room, because Hinch is so even keeled.
I'm okay with that, though. It bothers you?
It just bothers me that at least there's not a little bit more intensity level to say, hey, we're aware we don't have that big cushion of a year ago. We got to go.
I'm okay because you don't want to see them panic. You don't want to see them get too high. You don't want to see them get too low. I kind of like the even keel. It's no big deal.
Handle the text line. I get it. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. I do want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Gallery, 3 locations across the Houston area between I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, the post location in the Galleria, and, of course, the Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugar Land. No matter which one of the 3 locations you hit up, same great service, same great deals. They're always going to take care of you because they want you to be return customers. That means that if you know about that Astros promotion and you know if you buy $3,000 or more worth of bedroom furniture, including Tempur-Pedic, and at the end of the year the Astros win it all, you get it all for free. That's good at all 3 locations. And everything that Mattress Mack says to you in his commercials is exactly what they're going to do. It's not just marketing speak, it's the reality. That means you buy today and there's no back order slips. If you see it on the showroom floor and you want it, you're going to get it. You're going to get it brand new. You're going to get it delivered that same day. Delivery is always within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. So therefore, there's no back order slips, no waiting around, no paying for it, and then hoping to God it shows up by the time your company come in from out of town. It's all going to be part of what they say. It's exactly what they're going to do. The delivery people, they're going to move things out, rearrange things, do whatever you need done while they're there because they want you to be happy with everything that represents Gallery Furniture. And the most important thing of all is exactly what Max says. That means that the furniture is solid wood and American made. It's going to last a long time. And on top of everything else, Gallery really will save you money.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee-deep in hour number two of the three-hour show. It is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. Just a quick programming reminder from the standpoint of the signal, which means that for hour number three, we'll be simulcasting, and our friends at SportsMap will be joining us, 94.1 FM. So if you're driving from one area of town to the other, experience a little frequency issue, switch on over to 94.1 starting at 3 o'clock, catch the rest of the show. But smartest bet, we always say, and Nick is always good to remind us, just download the app. It takes all kinds of crap out of the equation, and you just hear it crystal clear wherever you go, including other states and the nation.
So who was your favorite fill-in?
Nick, I'll let you answer first.
If you had to pick one.
To say whoever fit our mold the best, I would say Raheel.
Oh, yeah?
But I enjoyed Lance's fill-in, even though he was, you know what, 30 minutes late, Joel, something like that?
Wow. At least, yeah.
I really like Lance. But yeah. Raheel, fit what we try to do here on The Usual Suspects every day.
Good.
The most. Randy.
How many texts came in happy that I was gone?
It was about 50-50. I let him in the text. It was about 50-50.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So you got some negatives and some positives, so it was back.
It's always like that. When you're gone, yeah, there's something like, yeah, it's like, oh, Joel, I'm glad Joel's gone. Then it's like, man, I miss Joel. This sucks. Yeah. It's always interesting to see. The only one that never gets any hate is Nick.
Like, well, no one's ever enough. I'm the third wheel.
No one's ever glad you're gone, and we need to change that. No. I want people to be glad that you're not here.
I may not be on Friday.
Did you narrow it down to one?
What?
Or you just, did you narrow it down to one? Or
yeah,
you,
he said Raheel.
Or just Raheel?
Yeah. I mean, I just felt like he fit the mold the best is what I think. I think Lance, I mean, from a football perspective, it was awesome. Randy's very sportsy. Anyone?
Well, Randy, the thing is with Lance is he knows me, too, from our previous lives.
That's another thing.
So he would bring up things that would kind of stir up some good conversation there. But I'm going to say Jerry.
Really?
I thought Jerry because, again, going in.
That surprises me.
I had only met him the one time. But I immediately we kind of hit it off, had some chemistry, and we're talking about some things. And you could tell when he was on, he knew not only just sports, but he kind of got it, what we try to do here.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to have a guy that came in kind of excited and open-minded, but yet no matter what topic we covered, he was on it, he was into it, and he had fun with it, and that was the most important
thing. I think he's right. I think I'd have to agree with Joel. He probably was the best
villain.
So you're
changing your...
I totally forgot about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I did kind of want to stick within somebody who actually works within these walls, and Raheel does, yeah. Lance does.
Well, that's good, though. I'm glad to hear that. At least I didn't send you somebody that just ate a D on air and is like, God, that guy sucks. No.
And he handled the heat that he got on text line pretty well, too.
Yeah, he was big on his cowboy love, and so that stirred up all the stuff.
Oh, yeah. I had mentioned that to him because we had lunch Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday we had lunch. And I had told him, it was Tuesday. And we were just talking about sports because he really does have a passion for sports.
Tell. Yep.
And we were talking about that. And I was like, yeah, you should definitely bring up the fact that in Dallas, there is no rivalry between Dallas and Houston. Because he talked about the fact that when the Astros were in the World Series, he was rooting for the Astros. I was like, you understand that if that was the Rangers, not a single person in Houston would have been rooting for the Rangers if it was the reverse. He goes, yeah, I don't understand that. I was like, you need to bring that up because not a lot.
He did. Yeah, he brought it up.
Good. Very good. Because you have to. I think it's good for Houstonians to get the perspective from people outside of the city that this hate, this natural hate of Dallas is a one-way thing. There's not people in Dallas that just hate Houston to hate.
We actually took it to the level of from a football perspective as well. Where it's the Texans fans hating on the Cowboys, but on the flip side, the Cowboys care. Don't worry about
they
the
hate,
Texans.
They hate the Redskins, the Eagles, and
that's
the Giants.
That's what he said. But I also said, I hope you do realize as a fan base, you are personally responsible for the agony that tailgaters at NRG Stadium have to go through because of the brawls that happened when the Cowboys were here the last time.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you would consider this breaking news. I would, but Adrian Peterson signs a one-year deal with the Redskins.
I thought it was very amusing because I saw him getting ready to work out there. And I was watching ESPN, and two or three different people on ESPN go, I don't know why everybody's getting worked up. He's not even close to what he used to be, and he's not going to walk out of there with a contract. They're just checking guys out. Oh, really?
Yeah.
He just walked out of there with a contract.
Dude, Geist went out for the year with the ACL.
Yep. He had surgery today.
P. Ryan and Marshall both had leg injuries. They had to do something, so.
I mean, he's got that natural talent that he can live off for a very long time. They were showing just today on Twitter, I just saw, like, high school highlights.
Yeah.
And he just looked like a beast, and everybody else looked like a kid.
and he was just running right through 33
years old.
Here's
will
the thing,
he,
though.
Will he average 3.3 yards?
Here's the thing. That's where I'm at. You can't
Can he average
away,
his age with a dot in the middle?
Someone made a take, maybe gone a little too far when they said, when you're talking about the Mount Rushmore of running backs in the NFL, he could be there.
Stop it.
I'm not going to go. Stop I'm not,
it.
I'm
Who
not,
said that?
Someone on ESPN, again, was God talking about
it,
that.
Dumbasses.
And I was like, I'm not going to take it to that point. But he had some, he was an MVP. He had some unbelievable seasons, right? But again, it goes to the life expectancy that Barry's been great about making sure you realize what that number is. And it's very small compared to what you think it is. And once you hit that, it's not like Tom Brady where you're waiting for him to fall off.
Right.
Once you hit that wall, and the Vikings basically were done that one year, you remember, he came off a couple good seasons, and they evidently knew more than we did because they were like, yeah, no, we're not going to give that much money, and we don't feel like it's there anymore. And right after that, he just kind of hit the wall, and he was a different back.
Over his last, the last 2 years, he's averaged 3.1 yards a carry, close to the bottom in the NFL.
Yep.
If you could get his age and average 3.3, even that might not be good enough, really. I mean, but... Mount Rushmore, I could name probably seven or eight running backs
so
ahead of him. Right, just
Jim Brown, Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton,
Barry Sanders,
and there's four right there. And no so, one's if you just said I'm done, most people would go,
okay,
that's pretty fair.
Yeah,
yeah. Jerry did piss people off. Oh. He said if you took an all NFL or all no an all
guys,
NFC
goes,
all NFC all time team, it would be 90% Cowboys.
No, 90% that did from that division. Oh, is what he said.
No, I think he said
NFC East.
Yeah, but no, I think he said. Oh, did he
say said
NFC
from that
East?
Division?
He started out with the Cowboys, but it's like Jerry Rice, Joe Montana. People starting throwing Randy Moss. People are throwing names. Are like Walter Payton. We're like Barry Sanders. Maybe not.
He's like, ugh, I should have done that.
Yeah, you could see that's one where he, if you had your voice on a fishing reel and you could bring it back, he was trying to reel it in.
Somebody asked me, hey, Barry, really enjoyed hearing about your trip. Two questions. How was the weather, and did you see any poop on the streets? I hear that's a problem in L.A. No, I didn't see any poop
Dateline
on the streets.
Dateline highlighted that last night. That
I didn't see any poop on the streets.
And in people's yards is a huge issue.
Yeah, didn't see that. Weather was, it was hot for them, but it was like 95 was the high with no humidity. So it was great for me because I'm used to 90. Right now? Are you kidding me? It's 100 here almost with 70% humidity. So it was.
How did you wipe the slime off your cheek when he kissed you?
I just panicked and walked off. I did go and I'm not lying. I went and washed my face.
I would hope so.
I did. Yeah.
All right. Well, I just want to make sure we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got two in the books. 1 hour still to go with the big show. 60 minutes on the clock when we come back, and we'll be taking you all the way up till 4 o'clock. Of course, the Blitz will come on after us. They're all present and accounted for, with the exception of Jong still on his honeymoon, but they'll take you home till 7 on the same simulcast. You don't have to do a thing. Stay tuned. It's the final hour coming up next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.